it's a really sobering experience, at least it was for me, because that's honestly the first time when I truly felt like I am also a first-generation immigrant. It takes so much out of you to set your life up in a new place and set your family up in a new place.
Hey guys, welcome back to Two Suitcases. This is a show where we unpack immigration stories and explore complex topics that transcend borders and culture. I am Raksha Rajagopalan.
And I am Bharat Madras Natarajan. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Two Suitcases. God, there has been so much happening in the last few weeks, and this is going to be the last episode of season one. Which is, for Raksha and I, feels like a huge milestone compared to where we started off. So in today's episode, we are just going to talk about what's going on in our life. There's been some big changes that, you know, we both want to dive into and just put down, document in some fashion and kind of reflect on. And then the second half of the episode, we will talk about our thoughts on how season one went. It's been a journey. It's been a journey that's been really exciting, really fun. And we kind of just want to unpack that. You know, we haven't had this conversation off the record yet. So this is kind of going to be happening on the fly. And we hope you guys all enjoy listening to it. So Raksha, how you doing?
Good, bro. It's kind of a weird situation because we're both in different locations now.
Yeah.
So it's our first time recording virtually, which is crazy.
Yep.
But I think we're going to get used to our new normal, just like the rest of the world now.
Yep. We just spent like a good 30 minutes trying to set up our mic, set up our Zoom call and whatnot. So this is weird, dude. This is the first time we're having a conversation like this on screen.
I know, I'm just like staring at you, but because before we would just look at each other and it felt so natural to have the conversation.
Right.
But right. I'm excited for technology and that we're still able to continue without any kind of trouble.
Yeah.
So grateful for that for sure.
Yeah. So let's dive straight into it. The reason Raksha and I aren't in the same place anymore and recording from my little studio apartment kitchen anymore is
drum roll.
my wife and I moved to Toronto.
Yay!
So it's been a crazy journey. So
tell us all about it, Bharat. I want to know all the details.
Yeah.
Why did you move? When did you move? What's been happening? All of the deets. Please spill the tea.
We have had conversations on the record here too. About our future in terms of being immigrants in America, right? And, you know, Natarajan, my wife, is a school teacher, and she basically spent all her life on the African continent. Many of you know, we grew up together in Zambia, and then she went on to study in South Africa, and then went back to Zambia to teach. So, you know, after 9.5 years of being together, and after getting married the past summer, we were trying to figure out how to be in the same place together and basically start our lives together, which shouldn't be that difficult. But with a lot of us immigrants, it generally tends to be the case where there's so much paperwork to figure out. There's so much waiting around to do in order for things to fall into place.
Right.
So things kind of happened, and I was able to find work within my company in Toronto. So Natarajan and I basically got our paperwork over the summer and we moved. So after we got married, Natarajan was still back home in Zambia for about a couple months. And then she was able to come to the US on her tourist visa because the embassies and all finally started to open up.
Zambia. Miraculously, all the timing worked out.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, honestly.
So she spent a good like 5 weeks in Zambia. We were very aware that, you know, we were going to leave Chicago at that point. We're just kind of waiting on the paperwork to fall through. So everything else was kind of in place. So we spent some time in Chicago. We spent, you know, we very consciously tried to spend time together, you know, for the first time as a married couple.
Yeah, and for a long period of time too, because you guys always did vacations.
Yeah.
So this is like an intention of we're together.
We are for permanently the long haul. Together, right, right.
Yeah.
So that felt amazing. And then in those 5 weeks too, we try to, you know, do as many Chicago things as possible, spend as much time with family and friends that are in the Chicago area. So, you know, the paperwork all came through and we had to wrap everything up in 2 weeks. And
pack up your whole life,
pack
bro.
Pack up our whole life.
Not in two suitcases, though.
Yeah, you know.
That was a joke, guys. The joke was, Natasha was like, you guys created a podcast called Two Suitcases, but she moved with two suitcases and 5 boxes.
And 5 boxes. Yeah, I guess, you know, we moved, we put all our stuff in a U-Haul and moved it to Toronto. So that is not as sexy, I guess, as two suitcases.
What
17
boxes? But that's how
boxes,
we all moved.
17 boxes and 5 suitcases. Not as catchy. So that's basically what we did. We put everything into a U-Haul, and I drove that across from Chicago to Toronto.
That was a crazy week of packing.
It was a crazy week of packing. My birthday was basically the Friday before we moved, like 2-3 days before we actually did the move. So yeah. it was a very, very exciting but stressful time. And it's also the thing of I've never done that drive before, and I just don't know what it entails taking all this stuff across the border into Canada.
Across a new country.
Right. So there was a lot of like uncertainty on in terms of how everything would play out. And Raksha, you were privy to all the stresses that went into the actual move itself.
Yeah.
But
you know, it sounds like all nice when, you know, now that you've all moved, but leading up to it, the immigrant life that you had to go through was very real. And watching you go through that was equally as family, just felt, wow, you know, wish we could help you more. But,
right,
you know, going through this process, it's like always you can prepare as much as you can, but you have the unknown.
Yeah.
And now you have to tell us the drama at the border.
Oh, so we spent 4 hours driving from
after eating
Chicago,
Jimmy John's.
After eating Jimmy John's, we drove from, and Jimmy John's sponsor us. We drove from Chicago to Detroit. We crossed on the Detroit border, and basically by the time we left Chicago, we started putting stuff into a U-Haul in the morning, and by the time we left was like 2-3 in the afternoon. So
yeah,
by the time we reached Detroit was like, man, maybe 8-9 p.m. And so we were at the border, and this was
and exhausted because you moved all day.
Exhausted, and also no idea what to expect. I don't even know, like, okay, is the border like post on this side of the bridge, or do I have to cross the bridge and
right,
then it's there? Like, are there 2 border posts to cross? I had no idea, right? So we crossed the bridge, get to the Canadian border post, and first there's this guy that does an initial kind of screen, checks our COVID tests, hears our story, he seems to be fairly friendly and chatty. And then he directs us to the immigration office. So we basically park by the office, go inside, give the office our paperwork, and that individual basically looks at the visas and our paperwork and prints out mine and Natasha's work permits. So
pause over here, because this is where we were all like, oh, Barth, you're good to go now. Congratulations. It looks like they let you through.
Yeah.
And then there's more to come.
It was a crazy, crazy experience. So we were there. The officer tells us to sit down. And then he comes back and he asks a couple more questions and he tells us to sit down. And then there was some, not issue, but a discrepancy with the paperwork. The offer letter I had was what we used to apply for the work permit online.
Right.
And that got approved. So that's the paperwork that I had to show to the officer in the front. And he was like, oh, do you have a more recent offer letter? And I did have one because my company's HR needed one. So I just, you know, crossed out the date and, you know, re-signed it and sent it back. And HR was fine with that. And we had that correspondence over email. So this officer asked for that email chain to see if he can read through it. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I pull it up on my phone. I show it to him. He starts going through the email chain, spends like a good 10 minutes just reading the whole email chain. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then he still has my phone. He comes out of the browser with the emails. And then he looks at me and Natasha and he's like, oh, so how long have you guys been together? And we were like, okay, we've been together for 9.5 years. And then he was like, okay, why did you decide to get married like this past summer after so many years? And so
because we started, that's your choice?
Yeah. So we started answering these questions and he was like, oh, so did you guys correspond, you know, via Facebook or WhatsApp or, you know, all of these years being apart? And so we explained to him that, you know, we mainly use WhatsApp to communicate with each other. So he has my phone. He goes into WhatsApp and then he asks me, he's like, is there any sensitive content in this that I shouldn't be seeing? And I was like, no, there isn't. So he goes ahead. He asked me to open the chat with Natasha. And he basically like starts going through it. He starts reading through it. He scrolls up, you know, a few months back, starts reading through it. And then he starts asking random questions. He's like, oh, so who is Amma? And Natasha goes, that's my mother-in-law. And then he keeps reading and he's like, oh, who is Atanga? Ooh. And I'm like, that is our wedding photographer. He keeps scrolling.
And he's then really reading.
Yeah, really reading. And he spends like a good like 15 minutes. And then he asks, oh, so when you guys were planning on moving to Canada, why did you choose Canada and not the US? And so I started explaining that, you know, things just worked out. The company decided to move me. I gave an explanation. And then he was like, oh, are you guys intending on applying for a permanent residency? And those of us who are immigrants that are listening to this know that whatever immigration paperwork you have to show fairly clearly that you do not wish to overstay whatever the extent of that work that permit is. So if it's a work permit, right, you don't anticipate staying beyond the work permit. If it's a student permit, you don't anticipate staying beyond. So these are fairly standard things, right? So I answer saying, we right now don't have the intention of seeking permanent residency. We intend on working here because that's the permit we've been given and that's the opportunity we have. So right, we have this conversation and Natasha looks at me. I guess she... Her eyes kind of give away the situation a bit because, like, let me put a pin on that and we'll come back to that. But basically, I see this officer look at Natasha, looking at me, and I'm just like, oh, no. Here we go. And then he keeps looking at me for a couple more, like, seconds, and then he goes back on the phone. He starts doing a word search. He starts searching through our WhatsApp messages, typing in things like Canada, permanent residency, express entry, all of these kind of keywords that would identify what this couple was talking about. So that we kind of went through that. At that point, I was like, oh, I guess like we have obviously spoken about a future beyond just a work permit in Canada, right? Like,
Who doesn't do that?
So that is really weird for me that it went that far into looking through our messages. But he spent a good like 10 more minutes looking through WhatsApps and like basically asking us questions. And then he gives my phone back and then he says, okay, you guys have a seat. I'll come back. So we have a seat.
Is this when you're planning what hotel you're staying
in? Oh, yeah. At that point, I'm like, oh, crap. I pull out my phone. I'm like, I am not spending a night in Detroit. So just because I don't know and like you hear things and just don't know what areas are good and whatnot. So I'm like, okay, hotels for the night in Ann Arbor, because clearly it looks like we're getting sent back. And then the same officer is sitting and talking to another officer who has got his back towards us. And we hear the officer who's attending to us. We hear him ask his buddy there. He says something and then the word suspicion comes up. And so we hear the word suspicion or suspicious. And at that point, the officer who is sitting down, he turns his back and looks straight at us. At that point, we're like, oh no, what is going on?
Two little suspicious kids.
And then right after that, our officer tells that buddy of his, or he asks him rather, says, hey, do I have the authority to deny a visa that's been approved already in the system? And the buddy goes, yeah, man, like you have the final say. Like you are the officer on the front line. So you have the final say based on your judgment of the case. And at that point, I'm like, okay, I guess we are turning back. We have to get a hotel room in Ann Arbor and figure this out. And my mind is also thinking at this point, I'm no longer in the US, right? I'm in Canada. And mm-hmm. Do I even have paperwork to go back into the U.S.? Like,
oh, I never thought about that.
Does my company, like on paper, my company's moved me to Canada. So I still have a work permit in the U.S. Would they allow me back? So I am kind of starting to overthink all these like logistics.
Why are, We never thought, I never asked you that question. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Damn. So you were like kind of in no man's land a little
bit. I was in no man's land, and I just like, at least Natasha had a tourist permit. So
she was going to come back to Chicago. I don't know about you.
But like, I didn't know what I was going to do. Like, honestly, there was no plan B. Like, you don't go into this kind of a situation with plan B, right? Like, you are moving to a new place. You have everything set up.
Right. And you also had all your paperwork. Yeah, you know, prepared. So you never anticipated. I think the things approved. And I think the things you were planning for, from what I remember, was what can go in your U-Haul.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, like grains can't go.
Right,
soil can't go. Those were things we were talking about, and you were planning for that. And you know,
yeah.
But this is when you had all your paperwork ready to go. It was kind of very
right. And so this is when the officer comes back. And as soon as he comes back, my heart is racing and I'm like, okay, what is he going to say? And then he says, okay, your visas have been approved. This is the conditions for each. I'm going to walk through each of those conditions and explain it to you. If you have any questions, ask me. So he goes through everything. We ask a bunch of questions. At that point, I'm relieved. I'm like, thank God. Right. And then he's like, okay, you guys can exit and follow the commercial traffic out. And in my mind, like, I'm not going to ask any questions, right? But in my mind, I'm like, bro, I just have like 15 pages from a spreadsheet of like each single thing that I'm bringing into a country itemized. And you're just not even going to look at that, which makes sense. I guess he's worried about whether we're coming into the country illegally.
Right.
But they didn't even check any. They didn't even ask about anything in the U-Haul.
And you planned for that.
And that's the thing we planned for, right? We took pictures of expensive things. We like itemized everything. We were ready to pay whatever taxes we needed to pay to enter. But none of that seemed to be important, right? So that was the one of the worst experiences I've had in my life, right? Afterwards, once we drove out, there was a huge sense of relief. And there was a huge sense of we made it. Because up to that moment, even setting this whole border fiasco aside, it never really sank in my mind or even in Natasha's mind that, hey, we are actually moving to Canada, right? Mm-hmm. Even in the U-Haul, even waiting at the border, even waiting for the officers to process the paperwork, even if that all went smoothly, I don't think we were still prepared for actually moving to, like, mentally, we weren't accepting that yet until we had moved. And enter
because the exhaustion of just getting there.
Yeah, like you're in zombie mode at that point, right? And you're just trying to get things done and like get moving along. So anyway, we make it, and you know, we spend the night in Windsor, and you know, none of the hotels. That's the thing. I didn't even book a hotel room in Windsor because I was just not sure whether we were even going to make it to Windsor, right?
Right.
So that's like 1 a.m, and we're calling up different hotels to see if they've got a room. We eventually find a place to like park the U-Haul safely as well, spend the night. The next day, we drive from Windsor to Toronto. And from then on, it's just been, you know, one thing after the next in terms of setting up and you know, getting all this logistics stuff done. So now we are in our apartment. We've been here for like a good 2-3 weeks at this point.
Yeah.
And we have finally unpacked. And this.
And you've been in Canada for over a month now.
We've been in Canada for, almost a month. It's been crazy. And it's been, honestly, it's been a blessing, you know.
Right.
There's been a lot going on. But there were a couple of things from this experience that, you know, I was kind of reflecting on.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of waited, you know, to dig further into it until I had a conversation with you, Raksha, because I found it really interesting how this move from Chicago to Toronto kind of changed my perspective of what it is to be an immigrant, at least my own immigrant journey. For the longest time, living in the U.S., I know we moved to the U.S. when we were so young that it feels like it's easy to forget what those emotional and like physical challenges were of that move, that initial move from Zambia to Chicago. But having moved from Chicago to Toronto kind of brings a lot of those things back into the spotlight. When I was in Chicago and in Madison and, you know, anywhere in the U.S., to some extent, I felt like I was a second generation immigrant, right? Mm-hmm. As a second generation immigrant, you feel like you have a certain privilege.
Mm-hmm.
You have certain things that you deserve by virtue of your parents' hard work and the challenges that your parents overcame, right? And I felt that way because I felt like my parents moved out of India and set up a life for themselves in Zambia. And that life, by extension, allowed me to come to the US and afforded me these opportunities that, to some extent, I deserved because someone had worked hard for those opportunities on my behalf. And so moving from Chicago to Toronto is when it hit me. I was reading somewhere what some of like the logistics are, what some of the challenges are. And it's a really sobering experience, at least it was for me, because that's honestly the first time when I truly felt like I am also a first generation immigrant. Like there are certain things that I cannot afford to do or I cannot afford to pursue because it takes a lot out of you physically, emotionally, financially, like whatever other ways. It takes so much out of you to set your life up in a new place and set your family up in a new place. I think because we moved to Chicago so young, I didn't quite feel that. Just because by the time we did a lot of those like paperwork stuff and like, you're not worried about building credit once you're like 5 years into it, right? Because you've already built credit at that point.
Yeah, we started when we were in our teenagers. Teenage years, rather.
Right. Like as adults, we were effectively like American.
Kind of set up.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, we were set up. I mean, the things that we were doing were, finding a new apartment or moving or those kind of logistics, but not starting afresh. Our credit is already established.
Right. It's just those things like that you don't think about, but it absolutely makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a really good point, man, because we did it so young that by the time we came to buy a car, at least Raul and I, it was no brainer. You know, it was not a stress or setting up a phone line.
Right.
You know, because those were things we were doing so different. Oh, getting a credit card, anything. Yeah. Simple things like that.
Yeah.
So that, you bring up, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, dude. It's really been a sobering experience. It kind of just like, it just makes you think of, to some extent, when you leave a place, you always think about the opportunities and the lifestyle that you're giving up. Yeah. In comparison to the opportunities and lifestyles that you are kind of walking into or working your way into.
Yeah.
That was such a weird experience for me because and it still is. It still is because even though it's been a month in, I do feel like, okay, I am a first generation immigrant. Whereas in Chicago, that was technically the case. I just didn't feel that way. You know, I felt like there was a lot of stuff that was given to me by virtue of our parents working hard and setting up those opportunities.
Right.
Now it's like, oh man, there's certain things I can't do because I'm not in the US anymore. Or there's certain things that I kind of have to push to like 5 more years down the line because I need to, whether it's build credit history or save money or whatever it is, right? So
it's like you get something and then you don't have something. It's you know, as an immigrant, I feel that there's no winning until we establish ourselves, until we're in a place for 20 years or 20 plus years, I feel like, okay, I'm set. I'm settled now. I don't know.
That's an excellent point that you bring up because I was actually thinking the opposite. Looking at my life now, I have moved to a new place or a new country, at least, and completely new system twice. And each of those times, you know, takes something out of you, right? Or like is an experience. But now that we're here, this is what Natasha and I had been kind of dreaming about for almost a decade, right? Like we started dating having no idea how me and her were physically going to be in the same place. We talked about me moving back to Zambia after college and her moving to the US to work and like us moving to South Africa. We had all these plan A's, B's, C's, D's for us to be in the same place and live our life.
Right.
Now it's like, wow, we are here. All those things I needed to maybe give up to get to this point, which that itself, like we can have a debate over because I don't know if it is truly giving up opportunities.
Right.
I think, you know, all the things that I could think about as, oh, I've given this up to be here, it's all worth it just because
you're together.
Me and Natasha had no idea this was going to happen until like end of last year even. Like we hadn't conceptualized as this is a true opportunity for us to be together physically until like 9 years in, you know, which is which is remarkable that we are here at this
point. I know, and you are in the same place together without a flight ticket back home for Natasha or for yourself.
There is no return. There is no return ticket. There's no return. There's no exit on the highway. Yeah. Ramp. Like, this is it.
This is it.
And so,
how does that feel, Barth?
It feels great. You know, I think as humans, we have that tendency to constantly look forward. And that's what I wanted to bring up when you'd mentioned, you know, not really feeling like ever winning as an immigrant. Because I think we just take for granted the places that we are right now in comparison to where we want.
Are you reading my mind? Right? Because that's. Being in the present has been the only thought I've had this whole week.
But it's true, right? I think as an immigrant, and I think this is true to some extent as anyone really, you're always going to, hopefully, you always have dreams and you always have aspirations that you want to work towards. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to feel like I will be happy once I do that, or I will be happy once I get there, right? But for me, it's felt, this past month has felt, as much as this, it's been crazy and there's been, I'm completely tired. Like, this has been really exhausting an experience to set up in a new place. It's also been weirdly rejuvenating because it feels like, man, I'm next to Natasha.
Yeah.
Like, so what if I have to wait for 2 hours out in the cold outside the, you know, like the social insurance office?
Right.
Like, me and her are here, right? Me and her are together.
Right.
So it's not really the end of our problems. It's more so like the realization of all of our dreams that we had from like the past 10 years. Now, obviously, we have a new set of dreams now for what we want to happen in the future. Right. But it's a miracle that me and Natasha were able to set up our life in the same place. There were so many naysayers in our own like networks and communities and support groups. And there were so many thoughts of naysaying in our own minds. And
like, can we make this work?
Doubts. Yeah, can we make this work? How the hell are we going to make it work? You know, but here we are. And as much as there's still so much to fall into place, I've been trying really hard, and Natasha's always been good at it, of looking at where you are and not feeling the need to rush and do something to move forward. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay for you to sit here and think about the fact that you being here itself is a miracle. You being here itself was actually a dream that you thought would never come true.
Yeah. I think also we live in a world where everything needs to be picture perfect, or the reaction needs to be so huge. Like, I remember even I was like, oh my God, how does it feel? Like, you're together now. The reaction everyone's looking for is, oh my God, it was amazing. Oh, wow. It feels great. But I think you or Natasha said, honestly, it just feels normal. And, you know, I think we live in a world where everything needs to seem excited or seem over the top, or, you know, we need such a reaction out of things that real life is not like that. You know,
it's so weird you say that. Like, I've told Natasha this like 3 or 4 times in the past month. Like, this all feels weirdly anticlimactic.
Oh, that's the word. That's the word you kept telling me too.
Yeah.
Anticlimactic. Yeah. Barth, it's because I think we live in a world where people are looking for that, you know, that moment where Natasha would have run into your arms in the airport and cried and like, oh, you know, you've thrown her with flowers or whatever. And to make that moment seem bigger than it is, the moment is big already because you're together.
Right.
It doesn't matter how you're portraying it to look to the outside world. How do you feel together? Right. And the fact that it feels anticlimactic means it's normal. And it means this is for the long haul, you know? And I've been thinking about a lot of those things in my mind too, because we live in such a world of having everything be so perfect. I think when you mentioned the anticlimactic, that kind of also hit me. Like, honestly, like life is not about checking off those boxes to make it look perfect. It's actually about living those boxes in the present, you know?
Yeah. Which are already perfect, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just have to choose to see the perfection in
it.
You have to choose to see the value in those moments.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know I have taken up a lot of time.
No, Barth, you had a lot going on, bro.
but you had too, right? I think this worked out in a way, I think in a good way, this kind of weird transition, because we've spent the last like few years like very close to each other. And to be honest, we have been really blessed to have had opportunities in life and in work kind of in proximity with each other. But this is the first time, like, Toronto isn't that far away from Chicago, right? But this is the first time it feels like we are in different countries.
Right.
Like, you and my brother, like, people that I've always, it feels like, have had around me as an adult, we're in different countries now.
Yeah.
And we're in a different place. Like, it's still, we're still each other's support system, but the dynamics are very different.
Yeah.
Right? You had a pretty sizable change in your life too around the same time. Like, we were basically moving the same weekend,
which is so right? wild.
Right, how all of that worked
right.
out. So while I was moving to Toronto, Raksha, what was happening in your life?
What was happening? I had just gone on a life-changing holiday to Alaska and came back, and during that holiday, Raul and I really thought about, you know, what's next for us. You know, even in terms of our space, I think we were, Bart, like we've been talking, we were living for that perfect moment to make a shift from where we were living, just because we wanted to move to maybe a place we buy, or we wanted to move to a place that's bigger, but when everything was lined up. And we realized that everything cannot be lined up as we want it now. And we need to make the move, and we need to move. So we decided that we were going to move to a bigger place. And even that felt like a big change in our life, because we lived in a really nice neighborhood, a different neighborhood. And then we moved to a new space in Chicago that we have really never explored. So being, you know, in Chicago, in and out for me for over 12 years, we're finally living in a neighborhood that we've never, ever even checked out that much. So it's an exciting time in our life, because we have, so crazy how much space can give you clarity. I mean, I have my own office to do this, which is feels really refreshing. But I think this is a process for Rahul and I to kind of just say, you know, things will work out the way they should work out. And we cannot plan every detail of our life. And I think it took a trip to Alaska, which sounds really crazy, for us to be, you know what, screw it. Like, we're going to make this move. And yeah, Bharath, and also you moving away, like you said, for us, because we always had each other in our life for the last at least minimum of 5-6 years in close proximity. So now that you're gone, and, you know, it was nice to have Natasha here for 5 weeks. It gave us a glimpse of what life would have been like, you know,
and
it felt really good to have those moments with you guys together as a couple, because we kept laughing. Oh, wow, this is so weird, but this feels really good, you know, feels very natural to have her as our fourth member of the crew that she always was, but just never in person. You know, Bharath, like, that was very hard. It was very hard, I think, for both Raul and I when you guys were moving, but we were so happy for you guys that it just felt really good that we were all leaving that neighborhood at the same time. And Raul and I were starting our life afresh here in this new house and building our new dreams. So that's honestly the biggest thing that's happened in our life. And I reflected back on my year too. You know, as you all know, everybody's been part of my immigration story through all of our episodes. I was reflecting back and I was thinking, wow, I have not, you know, been able to work for over 8 months at this point. And which is, as everybody knows, is a huge career problem or career gap, is something that people look down on. But sometimes you think back and say, but it was not my fault. And so you know, I was reflecting back on this year and I just felt so many positive things that I did to be where I am. And if I didn't have this break, I think I wouldn't have grown as a person. As crazy as it sounds, I felt that I woke up every day feeling rejuvenated and excited to look forward to my day that I felt that I didn't have when I was working, because you kind of get into a routine. So those are the things that really are important that I take away from the last year for myself.
There's certain things that kind of happen in life that you don't expect, that you don't want to happen. But when it does, and, you know, either while you're going through it or towards the end of it, you realize that this thing needed to happen, or this thing happened for a reason, whether it's to build character, whether it's to kind of open another door, whatever it is, I think there's always a positive to take out of it.
Welcome back, guys. So this is the second part of our episode today. We walked you guys through all the things, our life changes that happened in the past couple of months. And this being our last episode, we really wanted to go back and reflect on everything that has happened so far with this podcast and what is our biggest takeaways. I never thought I'd be looking forward to our last episode and this recap portion of it. Think about it, man. We started 11 months ago in Jan of this year, and in April, we released our first episode, but we worked so hard from January to April to, you know, set it all up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just feels that we put in so much into this, because a lot of y'all don't know what happens behind the scenes, right? It's right. Not just us having this conversation.
Well, sometimes it is, but there's sometimes we just have a conversation and it goes terribly bad in the editing process. So
there's a lot that happens, you know, there's right. a lot that happens in podcast making. But apart from that, it's more of the journey of the stories that we wanted to tell in this whole podcast series that we created. Yeah. So Barth, you want to go into why we started this podcast?
For me personally, I got to a point in my life where, and I think a lot of people did too during the pandemic, when you're kind of just going day by day, you're just kind of in a monotonous routine, life is kind of just happening, things are happening around you, you're not actively present in your life. And
right.
I kind of got to that point towards the end of last year. Everything was monotonous, and I just felt like I wanted to find a project to work on that I would be passionate about. More so than that, I wanted to just take a step back and like look into my own journey and our family's own journey in particular. I think that's how that started for me in my head, is trying to look into how our families ended up where they are, how that led to us ending up where we were at that point. So in a way, for me, the biggest reason I wanted to do this project was to basically, even if no one listened to it, even if I could listen to it 5 or 10 years down the line, even if my kids could listen to it, I think that in itself was really precious and valuable. I just wanted a way to document things. I didn't have the mental capacity and discipline to sit down and journal. Felt like, hey, there's this other medium where, you know, you can just talk and you can capture these thoughts and ideas into some kind of record. And it was also really easy to do because, you know, I had a partner like you who it is easy to have these conversations with, because we had these conversations all the time. So it wasn't that much more difficult to have it on record. Now, it also required a bit more like skill to refine it a little bit. So, you know, our conversations are a bit more palatable for other people.
Totally.
But the biggest reason I wanted to start on this project was to just kind of record our story, record stories that were similar to ours, and also record stories that were very different from ours. You're usually caught up in your own bubble, in your own world. It's nice to talk with different people and get their perspectives, whether it's our parents, whether it's people in our network. That's been really fun.
Yeah, I think that was something we didn't realize we would enjoy, but we ended up enjoying that a lot.
Yeah.
Talking to different people, hearing their stories was one of the most exciting parts that I had working on this project. Mm-hmm. And everything else you said, Barth, I completely agree with you.
Was there any other reason, Raksha, that you wanted to start on this project?
Another thing that I know you didn't mention this, but I know that we discussed this a lot, is also talking about topics that are not usually discussed in like people like us, you know, from our communities.
Yeah.
And that was really important to us. And I remember sitting down and making that list of topics that first day, because we read this article, How Do You Start a Podcast? And it said, jot down all your ideas. And I remember joking, I was like, Barth, I don't think we're going to be able to come up with 15 topics, man. Believe it or not, we came up with over 15 topics.
Yeah.
It made us reflect more on who we are. I think intentionally sitting down every week when we first started to do this with you kind of took you to, it was some form of therapy too, because it's like you're reflecting and you're thinking about, you know, topics about yourself, but also topics about the society that you live in. And I think that was one of the reasons why I wanted to start this. But also, I know it's something that together we were so excited about.
Yeah. Did this whole process, do you feel like it met your expectations, what we've been able to accomplish in season one?
I shouldn't say this, But I feel really proud of the work we did. You know, sometimes you want other people to be like, hey, good job, guys.
You should say this because it is work to be proud of. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel embarrassed of the work we've put out. I think we worked so hard not to just throw out content there. We were very intentional every time we recorded. We created a backstory and we wrote down every point and every introduction and every thought that we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
When I look back, I am proud to say, hey, I was part of this project that we gave it 100% and sometimes more. I also like to say we had life cycles in this project too, like everybody else, where there were times where our motivation was low, but we got back together and said, hey, how can we increase our motivation? What is a topic that we should explore and talk about that's going to get us excited?
Right.
And that's when we did our memories episode, something that was pretty very different from everything we were doing in the past.
Yeah.
For you, do you think, Berth, we met all the expectations?
I think my expectations are fairly low in the sense that I just wanted us to work on a creative project and have a set of creative deliverables that we can look back on and feel like, wow, you know what? We're engineers, we're in the management world and whatnot, but like we can be creative, you know? In that sense, that was really my only, I guess, expectation of just putting something down on record and like being able to listen to it without cringing. And then over the last year, you get messages from random people. I have never felt, and I think I can speak on your behalf too on this, we've never felt like we need X amount of listeners or X amount of followers or X amount of feedback. But it's been really great to just hear random people that either we don't know personally, or people that, you know, we grew up around and kind of have lost touch with and we haven't even spoken to in like almost like 15 years. And they randomly reach out to us and say, hey, man, I listened to this episode and man, this is so relatable. This is so great that you guys are talking about this and sharing with everyone. That felt good. It felt like we're having conversations that I personally have never heard of in the podcast realm in terms of the podcast that I listen to.
Right.
You know, when coming to the US, I was always craving a sense of, you know, Zambian identity and Zambian content, and particularly like an Indo-Zambian identity, right? Just makes me think, like, of course, all the other people that we grew up around would have felt something similar on some level when they moved out of Zambia, especially the Indian folks who moved out of Zambia. That honestly is the thing that exceeded my expectations, is finding, you know, people reaching out to us and saying, hey, man, this is a really fun topic that you guys covered. Oh, you guys covered this topic. This is something that I think about all the time. This is great.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel like, oh, me and Raksha aren't the only ones sitting and talking about this and thinking about this and spending time on it. So the fact that some of these episodes are relatable to even like 3 or 4 people, that's honestly great. I think that exceeded my expectations. I didn't really expect that to happen.
As much as people don't realize it, when we did get those messages, we were so excited all the time.
We were excited. And as you mentioned, when we go through that life cycle of going through, you know, like inspiration and going through lulls, we got a lot of those messages. And I think they happened to happen in a lot of those lull moments of this project.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that really rejuvenated us to say, hey, man, like people are listening and this is stuff that people want to hear. It is important for us to not give up on this project because we have people tuning in to see what we're talking about and they want us to talk about certain topics. And I think that served as motivation at different points this past year. What did you get out of this season?
I think a lot of skill sets that I never thought I would have. Because initially you were doing all the editing and there was a time where I said, I want to also learn it because it'll be an interesting process. I never thought I would say, but I found editing very therapeutic because you just have to dedicate a couple of hours sitting and listening to yourself. And you learn to listen to yourself too. You listen to your patterns. I always joked about it. I was like, oh, you say that or I say this. And I find that very exciting because we have certain patterns and how we speak that we normally nobody would probably recognize it.
Right.
But once you do this, it's crazy how you can pick up on all this patterns that we all have. Also, I think we were really dabbling in our social media skills, like you guys have seen.
Right.
Which I shout out to content creators, honestly. It is a lot.
Tough, man. Like it takes discipline and dedication. Like it takes a lot of skills too. It's rough.
It's very rough. And I think, you know, initially it was you know, we would have all these ideas and all this design work. And I'm glad we did all the work in the beginning.
Yeah.
So those are some skill sets that we picked up on. Obviously want to make it better and take it to the next level. And we're learning through this. But one thing, Barth, I think what I really enjoyed with both of us, what we did is we kept this very professional. Our Two Suitcases was very professional environment. It felt like when I'm coming to Two Suitcases, it was more a work environment.
Right.
A fun work environment to go to, but we had our presentations that we prepared and like our marketing ideas and things that you look at it in a job situation, but in terms of a podcast, how can we take it to the next level? And we were never about the numbers, but it was exciting for us to just reach more people.
Right. It's important you bring up that professionalism part because we are really good friends. We are family. We don't necessarily interact with each other as if we're like work buddies, right? We are very close. In order to have a functional relationship, we had to kind of figure out how to set boundaries or how to establish responsibilities or roles. And that was a weird process. But I think, you know, if there was anyone I needed to do that with, you were the best person to kind of have that kind of a project type relationship with.
And I completely
It took a bit of skill building and kind of figuring out how to talk to each other in this dynamic.
Yeah.
But I think that was really, that was ultimately fun too, you know, to like.
Yeah,
to
we see had our rough patches too, like where we were, because we were so close to each other,
right,
that it's like, am I crossing that line in this situation? And we learned so much from this process that working with family and working with friends, and I'm sure people that are doing that, it's very different because you, when I have a coworker, it's easier for me to tell them, hey, I'm not comfortable with X, Y, and Z. I wouldn't work on it this way because no one's feelings is getting hurt. But here there's feelings and emotions involved. Just how do we communicate? And I think over time we learned it. You know, we had maybe our first couple of weeks where we're like, oh, do I say this? Do I not? And then over time, we both knew what we bring to the table and we were able to trust each. I think the trust factor was there. So that was something I never thought I would feel that I needed to do, but we did. And it was great. What about you, Barth?
For me, I think I agree with all those points in terms of building skills because it was fun. Like this whole process.
You built a website, bro.
This whole process has been fun. We built a website. We designed a logo. We worked with, you know, my cousin, Karan. Shout out to Karan. We worked with him to put together a theme music, like to be able to use his talents and work with, again, on a professional level with a family member, work on his skills. The way we came up with I just want to note this. The way we came up with the theme song is me and you watching different YouTube videos, different styles of like Indo-Afro kind of music that we want to incorporate into the sound. You kind of, I don't know what you call it, but like kind of semi-singing the notes and me playing the beat on like a typical Afro beats type drum beat on the cajon, you know, WhatsApp recording that and sending it to Karan and asking the poor guy to recreate that thing. That whole process, though, was a very creative process, which as an engineer, it's hard to get creative with work and life. This was really fun. I think we learned a lot of skills through that process. But I think the other things that I really got out of the season was, one, being more intentional about my own behavior and biases and flaws. You know, having these conversations with you, both on the air and off the air, it made me just like focus on some of these things that we talk about and pay more attention to it. The conversations that we had with other people, it made me reflect on how, you know, other people's stories are different and they make different decisions in a situation that, you know, if you were put in, you would make a different decision than what they did. Being able to empathize with that, being able to put aside your biases and truly like put yourself in that person's shoes, that was one of the things really stuck with me from this season. Along those lines too, just exploring our family histories. Having the conversation with my mom and your dad, those conversations, there were several points when I was like, damn, I don't understand why he did that. Or I don't understand why she did that. You kind of have to put that aside and just like listen to their story, their narrative, like their life.
Without any judgment. And Barth, not even just your mom having a story. You know, we have hours of recording on what our parents were talking, but your dad getting excited about asking us, why aren't you asking my story? And intentionally sitting down with us, even though we told him we're not going to be releasing this, wanting to tell us his story. It felt like they never actually took the moment in their life because their life was go, go, go. They had kids, they moved on. And we felt like we gave them the opportunity also to think about their life.
Yeah. And not just think about your life, but do it in a fun way, you know, because like as much as I want to sit and think about my life, it's really dry to try and do that and put each word on paper or even have a podcast with just me talking to myself about whatever my journey is or my thoughts. Right. But doing it with you is a lot more fun. And so I can imagine it was also fun for our parents to have these conversations with us. I just also want to note my mom's episode. We spent 4 hours in conversations with her. That was an editing nightmare. I'm glad we had that conversation because that's 4 hours of talking to my mom and another hour of talking to my dad that we obviously didn't even include in the episode. But we have all of that on record for us to listen back to at some point in the future. That's honestly like a beautiful thing to get out of this whole experiment. Do you think we missed any opportunities in season one? I know you'd mentioned earlier, like we'd put together so many ideas for episodes. Do you feel like there was something we missed that we should have tried to cover in this season?
I think when we were brainstorming, Barth, you mentioned this. Barth and I have a relationship where we off recording, we have disagreements. Yeah. And I like that about our relationship because it's not all about agreeing to... I will agree. Barth will push me a little bit in terms of, you know, are you sure that's what you're thinking? So I think next season, which we really want to explore, what are topics that we differ on? I wouldn't say it's a missed opportunity. It's an exciting opportunity for the future.
Right.
Barth, I remember we were putting this question down and I just look back and I think nothing feels like a missed opportunity because I think we have more work to be done in the future and the seasons to come, you know?
Yeah.
And would I do things differently? We were so intentional after every episode that we were trying to change how we speak, what we say, how we record things to make our lives easier, that we kept growing with each episode, you know, from how we recorded 5 hours worth of conversation with your mom to knowing that we should only keep it limited or
to be more efficient with the process.
Right. As the episodes grew is, you know, something I wouldn't say missed opportunity, but more of a learning opportunity that we had. Do you feel like we had any missed opportunities?
I think you covered pretty much everything because I did feel like we were very inefficient with our parents' episodes the first year. Yeah. But in a way, I'm also glad that we were because there's so many hours worth of conversation that we have on record, right? Even if it's not in a refined form, in an episode form, we have that as raw tapes that we can always look back on. And I do agree that there are a lot of topics that me and you intentionally put down in that initial list that we put together because we disagree on those things. I think for our listeners, there's almost definitely going to be a season two. Our intention is to put together a season two. We have more than like 20 topics that we put down on paper, and we grossly underestimated the work it would take to put each episode together. We wanted to cover everything in season one, but then you realize how much work it takes. And you also realize each episode or each topic needs a little bit more work that can span like a 30, 40 minute episode. And that's, you know, valuable to our listeners and to ourselves to kind of explore. So there's a lot more topics that we want to cover. And there's definitely going to be a season two. And we want to work on addressing, I think, in this new season, topics that me and you disagree on. Just a teaser for the folks out there. Two of the topics that, you know, we do want to talk about are, you know, body image issues and also religion. And these are two things that, like, we have certain similarities in terms of perspectives on those topics. But we also have heated arguments about some of these two topics in particular. You know, there are topics that I wish we had addressed this season, but there's going to be time for that next season. And I do also, in a way, looking back on the season itself, some of the most fun conversations I had was conversations where we interviewed other people, talked to other people. I think it's so easy for me and you to be caught in our bubble. Me and you have a very similar kind of upbringing. There are differences, you know, in perspective, there are differences in experience, but fairly similar. But mm-hmm. it's been really refreshing to talk to other people and kind of get challenged on your perspective of the world or your values or your ideals. Now, granted, we haven't had that many people on this first season. The few that we have had, it's been really refreshing to hear their stories. Right. And you realize as much as we feel like our story is unique, man, there are so many people out there with different trajectories in life. It could fill so many books there's so many stories out there that are just untapped, that are just, you know, unexposed. So I'd really like to talk to more people next season and kind yeah. of hear different perspectives on life.
I think I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Yeah. But speaking of like uncomfortable conversations, do you feel like we had any uncomfortable topics or recordings this season?
I will say initially when we first started doing that, I would forget, you know, every time that other people are going to listen to this and being in a safe space with you, we would talk. And then when editing, you'd think, oh my God, did I really say that? I feel comfortable with that being out there. But then you realize that's your truth and that's your story and that's your narrative. A couple of the conversations we had, especially, you know, our enmeshed community, growing up in Zambia.
Yeah.
Those were visiting or going back and looking at and reflecting on my life and my childhood. And sometimes you're critical of the situation that you were in, or you are now overly corrective because you're kind of out of that situation. And so those were things I was just thinking to myself, oh, that's so uncomfortable to put out there. The whole point is we wanted to be authentic and vulnerable. I'm glad we stayed true to ourselves. What about you, Bharat?
Let me take a second to just like deep dive for just a little bit on this particular issue. I think maybe subconsciously we might have veered away from uncomfortable conversations. And I think we tend to do that in our Desi societies and communities, right? Like we tend to not want to criticize our loved ones. We tend to not want to have some of these uncomfortable conversations. That is definitely not disconnected from how we have done this project. I think to some extent in the back of our minds, it's been easier to pick certain topics that are easier to talk about, you know? And I think next season, we need to be just a bit more conscious of that. At least I definitely do, because I want to have some of these uncomfortable conversations, because I really liked the last two episodes in the sense that we aired out a lot of things that we think about and we maybe have conversations about in private. It seems unacceptable to have those very valid conversations on record in with multiple people. So I think I do want to do that next season. You know, if I can pick your brain, Raksha, we haven't yet obviously had a conversation about this yet, but what does next season look like to you?
I think next season is going to have stories that we haven't heard, people's stories. I would love to do a lot more of that.
Yeah.
Kind of come back with a refreshed energy on the topics that we put down at that point a year ago. So where do we stand on those topics 1 year later? Our viewpoints changed when we put it down versus, you know, how do we feel in that moment? That is next year. I think that's what season two looks like for me, you know, continuing on the same thematic way of what we've been doing, but bringing in more people and covering more of the topics that we didn't do.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think next season, Raksha, I want to have a fight with you. Oh, I want us to fight, and I want you to storm off Zoom and just cut the call. No, I think we covered it, right? Like I think intentionally we want to talk to more people next year. And I think also explore topics that we disagree on and kind of figure out why we disagree on these things and what the different perspectives are.
But Bharat, I have a question. Forget about all that, dude. What was your favorite episode of this season? I know they're all your babies.
They are all my babies. And, you know, you mentioned something when you were talking about the editing process. It is therapeutic, but it's also where the story actually comes to life. You get to control what the narrative is to some extent, and you get to be able to put it all together. These are like our babies. It's hard to pick a favorite episode. And I think I might steal yours at this point. I really like the childhood memories episode, because I think we wanted to do something different on that one, right? We wanted to do what we would if we didn't have a podcast, right? We'd journal down or like put things on paper and script it and kind of let our creative juices flow a little bit more. You know, I love reading. I love writing poetry, short stories, that kind of things. I enjoyed it, man. That was just amazing to be able to put that level of emotion and depth and layers into a story on paper. I think that's something we can't really achieve in a casual conversation. But I'm glad we're able to just document that, because that took myself down memory lane. I really had to think about those memories and putting that down on paper and listening to it. It took me back in time. Listening to your stories as well that was amazing for me because a lot of it is like a very similar setting, but a completely different experience.
Right.
And so having those conversations, not just writing that down, but writing it down, listening to it, and then unpacking it with you, that was just a really fun experience.
Yeah, you stole it. Same one for me. I think the childhood memories, we wanted to be so creative and we wanted to do something different. And we were in that moment of lull, like you're saying. And this was, we got so excited planning this episode. Honestly, writing our stories, reading your stories was exciting and made me smile and like look back and think about, oh yeah, I remember that. But wow, his perspective is so different from mine. And I was in the same situation. I was in the same place, you know? And then and then writing my own story that I haven't really shared to anybody, you know, writing it down was so hard. It was such a great experience. And I think if we never did this podcast, Barth, we would have never written those thoughts down.
If the only thing people listen to from this podcast is that one episode, I'd be fine with that. If there's a huge fire and everything else burns and there's one episode that remains, I want it to be that one because I think, as you said, it allowed you to be a bit more reflective and vulnerable. And I think that process in itself was quite cathartic. That's our conversation for today, guys. You know, there's a lot happening in our lives, or at least in the past few weeks, there's been a lot happening, but things are finally slowing down. Raksha and I are looking forward to putting together and exploring new topics and ideas for next season. We really hope you guys stay tuned. We'll let you know when the new episodes come out. Again, if you guys have any ideas, if you want to be involved in making some of these episodes and having conversations with us, like just reach out to us. We wanna explore different topics. And we want to share different stories. And you know, it may be very different from ours, but that's exactly what we want. We are really looking forward to working on this new season. And we'll keep you guys posted. Hopefully, we'll be back early next year at some point. Stay tuned. Raksha, any words for the folks at the end of season one here?
No, all I'm going to say is have a great holiday and happy new year. And see you next year.
Yeah. And again, thank you all for listening to us this season. It's been a really wonderful experience putting out content that we feel like we are doing in a vulnerable way and in a very real way. A lot of you are listening to it and are giving us feedback, and it seems to be relatable. And that is honestly really beautiful. And we thank you all for your support and for tuning in. Stay tuned. We will keep you all posted. Until next time, see ya.
Bye.